This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Plastic Surgery Information Channel. Make sure you connect with us on Facebook to receive the latest programming for your convenience simply at eHealth Radio. Today, we are speaking with, once again, Dr. Nina Daidu, board-certified plastic surgeon located in Manhattan, New York, who is here to speak with us about the ideal implant. Dr. Naidu, welcome back to eHealth Radio.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So tell us, for starters, what is the ideal implant?
The ideal implant is a new breast implant which was developed by my colleague and friend, Dr. Bob Hamus. He is a plastic surgeon who practices in Dallas, Texas. And Dr. Hamus spent 10 years developing this implant. He wanted an implant that contained saline, but which felt like a nice, soft, natural appearing and feeling silicone implant. So he created an implant which basically has two silicone shells, each of which are filled with saline. So the result is an implant that feels very soft, very close to what a silicone implant feels like, but which contains only saline.
What are your recommendations for someone who is considering the ideal implant?
The first thing I recommend is that you go to the website, www.idealimplant.com, and take a look at all the information there. There's a wealth of information there. There are a lot of nice photographs, and there's a really nice diagram of the implant itself that shows you exactly how it was designed. So that will give you a lot of information right there. The second thing is to find a plastic surgeon, a board-certified plastic surgeon in your area who offers the ideal implant. There aren't very many of us in the United States. In New York City alone, there are only 5 of us who offer this implant. It's limited to a very select network of plastic surgeons who perform a significantly large number of breast augmentations per year. So find someone who offers that implant, make a visit, and go in and feel the difference between a regular saline implant, the ideal implant, and a silicone implant, and that will give you the most information. If you look at them and feel them and talk to the surgeon who's done these procedures, that'll give you a lot of information to start with.
Excellent. And what are reasons someone would choose this specific procedure?
The ideal implant is specifically chosen by women who want breast augmentation, who want the natural feel of silicone, but who have some concerns about silicone gel for whatever reason. The main issue seems to be that for patients is that when a silicone implant ruptures, you don't always know. It may feel or look different, or sometimes it may be completely asymptomatic. So as a result, you're required to get MRIs or ultrasound studies to see if the implant has ruptured. When a saline implant ruptures, you know right away there's a change in the feel and the appearance of the implant. So that really is the main reason for patients choosing this. They want that peace of mind that they get with a saline implant.
Today we are speaking with, once again, Dr. Nina Naidu, a board-certified plastic surgeon located in Manhattan, New York, specializing in breast augmentation and congenital breast deformities here on eHealth Radio's Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Dr. Naidu, what does the breast augmentation procedure with the ideal implant entail, and what is the recovery like?
The breast augmentation procedure with the ideal implant is the same as it is for any other procedure. The incisions that can be used are around the areola, that's the pigmented part around the nipple. They can be underneath the breast, or they can be through the axilla, that is through the armpit. The implant is placed and then it's inflated at the time of surgery. Recovery is fairly straightforward. Most patients report that they're sore for 2 to 3 days following the procedure, and they're able to get back to most of their normal activities within 2 to 3 weeks. Most of my patients are able to return to work within 3 to 5 days. I just advise them to hold off on very strenuous physical activity and sexual activity for about 2 weeks. Otherwise, for most patients, it's a fairly smooth recovery process.
And are there any complications associated with this procedure?
The complications with the ideal implant specifically are the same as they are for any other breast augmentation procedure. Those include bleeding, which is a very low risk, less than 1% risk, infection, which is also less than 1% risk, rupture of the implant, and capsular contracture, which is the formation of scar tissue around the breast implant. The exact risk of capsular contracture is not really known. It varies from study to study, but at this time I would say it's between 5 to 10% at about 10 years.
Certainly appreciate your visiting with us to get us up to speed on the ideal implant procedure. Where can listeners get more information about your practice in Manhattan, New York, and also how can they be in touch?
The best thing to do is to go to the website, www.NIDU plasticsurgery.com, or to call us directly at 212-452-1230. We have a lot of information on the website, including photos, and my assistant, who can be reached at that number, can give you as much information as you could ever want.
Once again, we thank you for your time, and thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. We've been speaking with Dr. Nina Naidu, a board-certified plastic surgeon who has a plastic surgery practice in Manhattan, New York, specializing in breast augmentation and congenital breast deformities. And once again, the website of reference and for contact, it's naiduplasticsurgery.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio, the plastic surgery information channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.